today, should the British taxpayer bail out Richard Branson's Virgin Atlantic?
Travelling on airlines in those days was abysmal. I mean, they would dump a bit of cold chicken on your lap. There was no entertainment. The cabin crew didn't smile because they were treated so badly. The planes were old and run down. And so bring somebody in from the entertainment world and liven it up and make it a wonderful experience.
That's Richard Branson, thinking back to when he ran just a music label in the 1980s. Then he launched Virgin Atlantic. The idea was to inject glamour into air travel.
Oh, you don't want to miss his flight. Come get fabulous at 30,000 feet.
We're delighted to welcome you on board Virgin Atlantic. Thank you for flying with us today.
With luxury long-haul destinations, those distinctive bright red uniforms, onboard massages, and a chairman who boasted about abseiling down Manhattan high-rises and kissing Spice Girls.
Hi, Jerry. Have you boarded yet?
Aye, aye, Captain.
In those days of Branson's David versus Goliath battle with British Airways, he was seen as a national treasure. But times have changed. In 2020, we're applauding nurses, not billionaires. And Virgin Atlantic is a loss-making company struggling to survive COVID-19's devastating impact on the aviation industry. It's in that context that Branson has turned to the UK government to ask for a £500 million loan to save his company. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, why is billionaire Richard Branson asking the British taxpayer for help? Let's start with a bit of context. COVID-19 has meant flights across the world have been grounded. It's a terrible time for the airline industry. Lots of companies have furloughed staff. British Airways this week said 12,000 were being made redundant. Virgin Australia, that Branson has a 10% stake in, is already in administration. And now he's extremely worried about Virgin Atlantic, that he owns 51% of. Delta Airlines owns the rest. Rupert Nee, you're The Guardian's wealth correspondent, so you've reported a lot on Richard Branson. How much trouble is his company in, and what does he say is needed to save it?
Richard Branson's told all his staff that this is the worst crisis ever to face the airline. Virgin could go bust.
In most countries, federal governments have stepped in this unprecedented crisis for aviation to help their airlines.
Initially asked staff to take 8 weeks unpaid leave. He subsequently put staff on furlough scheme, and he is begging the government to provide a £500 million loan to see the airline through the crisis.
The government has actually given a loan of £600 million to EasyJet because it has a good investment grade. Virgin doesn't, and so far the Treasury has said no. But why can't Delta Airlines, that owns almost half the company, step in?
Delta has said that, like all other airlines, it desperately needs money to support its own operations.
I do want to share on behalf of the 90,000 men and women of Delta Airlines that we are doing everything we can to stand with the people of the world to fight this awful pandemic.
It needs a $3 billion bailout.
We're operating right now at less than 5% of a normal passenger load.
Okay, so Richard Branson is desperate for Virgin Atlantic to survive, so he goes to the Treasury to ask for this £500 million loan. What I think surprised him was a really negative public backlash to that. But isn't what irritates people about someone as rich as Branson asking for help not just the wealth itself, but that he is not shy about reminding us of how much money he has?
Yeah, people are asking why he can't put his hand into his own pocket. And even Virgin Atlantic's competitors have been sticking in the boot. British Airways has said that they don't think bailouts are appropriate. And Michael O'Leary, the boss of Ryanair, has said,
frankly, if he's worried about Virgin, he should write the cheque himself.
asking the British government to bail you out when you have more than sufficient resources to bail out Virgin Atlantic yourself is not something I believe that should be considered.
This isn't just about Branson, is it? It's about the structure of his businesses, and that's quite complicated. Could you tell me the story of Virgin Atlantic and how it was set up?
Richard Branson founded Virgin Atlantic in 1984 with one plane.
We believe that there are 200,000 people out there who would like to go across to America at half the price of normal flights, and that if we can offer a plane which is a bit special, it won't just be, you know, the people who can't afford it, but it'll also be the people who normally fly across who'd like to fly with us.
He kind of wanted to feed this idea of the kind of glamorous airliner, didn't he?
Definitely. I mean, Virgin is all about the brand.
When we started the airline, we wanted to bring the glamour back to flying. It had been lost.
Hip-hop's freshest star, Drake, who was seated next to Branson, talked about having a plane named after him.
Flying on Air Drake is very humbling. I'm truly honored to have a plane named after me. Virgin, I think, is one of the most incredible airlines. The atmosphere is it's so soothing.
All the seats have been designed with you in mind. Inspired by iconic fashion houses, we developed three exclusive fabrics for our economy cabins.
He spent a lot of time building up the Virgin brand and using it across so many different companies.
I used to think of space as a destination, but I now realise it's a journey with some amazing milestones along the way.
The stereotype of a cruise ship is not something I'd particularly want to go on, so we thought, you know, if we can create the kind of cruise ship that ourselves and our friends would want to go on, then we'd go on it.
He was the first person to put a bar on a plane. You know, and he talks about himself joining the Mile High Club.
Yes.
Care to elaborate?
And, I get a lot of letters from various people. And I got one passenger complaining. And they were complaining about the shape of the sinks in our lavatories on our planes. And they'd redesigned the sinks so there was a sort of flat curve and not so pointed. And so that the wife's bum wouldn't be... Anyway, whatever.
It was all about bringing back the glamorous image of flying in a luxurious setting.
And that was quite successful.
Well, it's interesting how you'd measure success. I mean, it was very popular. It's grown to dozens of planes, but it hasn't really made that much money over the years in terms of profit.
It became very quickly a thorn in the side of British Airways, which has always been its main competitor. What's the relationship like between them?
Well, they have like a sort of fun and fractious relationship.
British Airways, you know, they're a brutal competitor.
Branson's talked often about how he likes to take people on and make fun of his competitors.
If you're a small company taking on a big company, you need to have a bit of sense of humour.
And he often tells a story of when British Airways sponsored the London Eye. Don't know if you remember, but when it was first being put up, they had problem getting it off the Thames and into a standing position. And Branson says that, you know, he saw this on the news.
So I had an airship company and we've scrambled the airship.
We called up one of his other companies, an airship company, and got it to fly over down the Thames.
I don't know whether we've got...
Like, we've got a picture of this, picture? Actually. This
saying BA's having trouble getting it up. You know, ask what his success is. He goes on and on about branding. He likes to put himself out there to promote his companies and his brands.
So basically, a big part of what Branson was trying to do was essentially poke a bear with a stick, the bear being British Airways. Did they ever react?
BA reacted immediately when Virgin was started, because this is obviously a huge threat to BA's business model, and its most profitable routes were those ones from London across the Atlantic to America. And it was revealed later that BA had been doing a dirty tricks campaign, sending discreditable information to financial journalists to try and undermine Virgin Atlantic.
Richard Branson arrived at the High Court secure in the knowledge that he'd won a stunning victory. It had all started 2 years ago. Airlines all over the world were deep in recession, and Richard Branson's tiny Virgin Atlantic was winning passengers from its rivals, including British Airways.
And this ended up in a court case, and BA was forced to unreservedly apologise.
According to Virgin, BA employees were tracing passengers after they'd booked on Virgin flights and offering inducements to persuade them to switch to BA instead.
They would contact our passengers as they got out of the limousines to go to our planes. They actually even had people ringing up pretending to be Virgin staff and saying, the Virgin plane has been cancelled today. But I'm a Virgin representative. I can get you onto a British Airways plane.
They paid Branson $500,000, Virgin Atlantic $110,000. And this money was given to Virgin Atlantic staff in what was termed the BA bonus.
And it was such a big, reward against British Airways that it really did shut them up. And from then on, we've had lots of competition, but it's been, basically relatively fair competition, not the sort of dirty tricks.
Right, so incredible rivalry, and also helps to explain how personal this is for Richard Branson and how desperate he is to save this part of his business. But as you've already touched upon, this is only one business with the Virgin name. There was Virgin Records, but after that, it just exploded. We've got Virgin Trains, Virgin Health, Virgin Media, Virgin Money. Why can't Branson use money from these other businesses to prop up Virgin Atlantic? Has he ever done that before?
Virgin Atlantic is so important to Richard Branson that he has often described it as one of his children. In 1992, Virgin Atlantic was going through such a crisis back then that he sold Virgin Records, the first company in the Virgin family, to help it through.
It was now the hottest independent record company in the world. We just signed the Rolling Stones and Janet Jackson, and EMI offered us $1 billion for the company, and certainly didn't want to sell it, but felt that by selling it, we could protect the jobs at the airline and we could protect the jobs at the record company.
And you can hear in interviews that he was upset about that. Virgin Records was like another baby to him, but he did it. He sold it. Why can't he sell off another of his businesses now to help the airline while it's in trouble?
The problem is that he has expanded into so many different businesses. It's difficult for him to, he says, get access to this cash. He just doesn't have the money or money that he can move around to support all the companies.
Okay, so he may have used his businesses before to support his baby, if you like, Virgin Atlantic. In 2020, the argument is that he can't do that, that there's not enough cash within the empire to support his airline company. But isn't it the case that as recently as 2009, he suggested that companies like his shouldn't go to the government for bailouts?
Yeah, you're right. Back then, he was saying companies need to stand on their own 2 feet and the weak ones need to go to the wall.
So this is one industry that I pray the American government doesn't go and waste taxpayers' money trying to bail out airlines. There's plenty of entrepreneurs who'd be willing to step into the shoes of airlines that run into trouble.
That's ironic. And I think one thing that we need to discuss is something that goes beyond his business persona. Because I think the thing that irritates people when they look at someone like Richard Branson, who is super rich, making these decisions about their staff and then going cap in hand to the taxpayer, is that they have such massive personal wealth. Now, that may be an unfair argument. We can come to that. But what is he worth?
What he's worth is difficult to work out because, it's a private business empire. So it's not like all the businesses are listed on stock markets. But there's this thing called the Bloomberg Billionaires Index that tracks the richest people's wealth every single day. And today, Richard Branson is the 311th richest person in the world with 5.6 billion.
311 out of a world that has about 8 billion people. Doesn't sound bad. Rupert, as the Guardian's wealth correspondent, I can imagine you spend quite a lot of time looking down that Bloomberg Billionaires Index.
Quite a bit of time, as it's the people that I write about. So he's slotted in between Fredrik Paulsson, a Swedish healthcare billionaire, and he's got slightly more money than Denise Coates, who's the billionaire founder of Bet365.
To most people, Sir Richard Branson isn't just incredibly wealthy. He's somebody who hasn't been at all shy in sharing his luxurious lifestyle with us all. It's almost as if his wealth is part of his personal brand.
Now, I've never had a desk in an office since I was a teenager when I started Virgin Records. I prefer to work in a bath or on a hammock, on a sofa. And occasionally I even get
interesting telephone calls whilst in the bath. I think perhaps the most interesting telephone call was when Nelson Mandela phoned me in the bath. He told me that a chain of health clubs in South Africa had gone bankrupt, that 5,000 people were about to lose their jobs, and he wanted me on the next plane to come to South Africa to save them.
You know, you get different sorts of billionaires, don't you? You get the really very shy and retiring, will never give an interview, don't want to talk about their wealth, don't want anyone knowing how much money they've got. And then you've got people at the other end, like Richard Branson. It's all about him.
Well, I was actually kite surfing, and there's this rather delightful young South African girl with her photographer boyfriend on the island. He wanted to take a particular picture, so he said, would you mind putting her on your back and taking her for a kite surf? And then he said, would you mind if she didn't wear any clothes? And I said, well, you know, I'm an English knight, a lady in distress, I'd be happy to do that as well. And it did become, yeah, sort of one of those classic pictures that went off around the world. And we all had a good laugh. I remember as I was coming in and just catching my wife's eyes. I was standing on the beach. Oops.
And him showing how much money he's got, how successful he is, how he turned from, you know, dyslexic as a boy, dropped out of school, but went on to become, I mean, he basically is Britain's most successful entrepreneur.
If I think back to the 90s, Branson was seen in an almost iconic way, as you say, the plucky British entrepreneur who struck gold. Even in 2008, he was voted as a national treasure in a Telegraph poll alongside people like David Attenborough. Now he's attracting a load of anger over social media by asking for a government bailout. What do you think has caused that change to his reputation?
I think people feel that maybe it's not right for him to be getting a bailout from the government when lots of small businesses aren't going to get a bailout and they might struggle to survive. He built up his reputation as the playboy billionaire who is having fun, jumping in the swimming pool and bringing other people with him. Richard Branson moved to Necker Island, which is an island he bought in the Caribbean 14 years ago.
The most extraordinary people come to Necker. The Elders was conceived here on Necker with Archbishop Tutu, with President Carter, with Kofi Annan.
There's absolutely no income tax there, so he hasn't paid any tax on his personal income for 14 years.
You know, sitting in my hammock, looking up at the stars at night, things like Virgin Galactic. So a great place to think and a great place to conceive ideas.
So some people might say it's a bit rich for him to be asking for a bailout from the taxpayer.
Coming up, we discuss Richard Branson's response to the criticism. What is Richard Branson's response to all of this?
The coverage surrounding his call for the bailout has obviously hit him personally, and he published an unprecedented letter defending himself. He says that he's not worth as much money as we all think he is, and that money isn't in the bank and he can't immediately access it to bail out the airline for himself. And he also defends himself for living on Necker Island in the BVI, which is a tax haven. He says, I've been very fortunate to accumulate so much wealth in my career, more than I need in my lifetime. I would not live somewhere I don't want to for tax reasons.
Is he using any of his personal wealth to help this situation?
Yes, he's pledged to invest $250 million, which is about £200 million, into the whole of Virgin Group. And, you know, that covers everything from the health clubs to spaceships. About $80 million of that will be for Virgin Atlantic. He's also said that the £500 million he wants from the government isn't a bailout. It isn't free money. He wants it as a loan on commercial terms.
I read that he's offering to put up Necker Island, which is his home, as collateral to guarantee that loan.
In his blog, he said that Virgin Group would act to raise as much money as possible off all of its assets, including Necker Island. But he later clarified that he would not mortgage Necker Island to get a government loan, but he would to get a commercial loan from a bank.
Is there any chance that the government is going to give him money?
The government's rejected his first plea for money, saying that there's not been enough evidence of Virgin Atlantic making enough effort to secure investment in other ways. And Virgin has said that they are talking to, you know, other private companies that might invest in Virgin, and they are also talking to banks about loans.
Why this desperate behaviour? What does he think the future is for Virgin Atlantic if he doesn't get this financial support?
He has said that, you know, this is the biggest crisis facing Virgin Atlantic since it started. He's really very clear in that Virgin could really go bust.
What is it about us, Virgin Atlantic and Virgin Holidays? Who are we and why are we here? You see, we're not just an airline and a holiday company, but the airline and holiday company. And whether you've just joined or been here for years, it's good to think back to how you felt when you first walked through our doors, to think about what we do, why, when, and how we do it.
And in his letter to employees, he's made the argument that if it were to go bust, that would be bad for the British economy.
His argument is if Virgin goes down, that's people that work for Virgin Atlantic out of a job. But then, you know, it's the ripple effect. It's all the other jobs that are reliant on Virgin Atlantic flying. That's travel operators, airport operators, Airbus that makes Virgin's planes, and Rolls-Royce that makes its jet engines have both written to the government pleading with them to help Virgin survive. He's also warned that if Virgin goes bust, then that will leave British Airways with a monopoly on flights to America. I mean, that may have been the case when Virgin started, but now, you know, there are other operators.
If Virgin Atlantic was to go under, what would it mean for its employees and what would it mean for its customers, people who may have bought tickets with them?
If Virgin Atlantic does go under, all of its employees will lose their jobs and that'll be devastating. Some of them might be able to stay on, and another company might buy Virgin Atlantic out of administration, some jobs be saved, but, you know, a lot of jobs will be lost.
So my philosophy has always been, if you can put your staff first, your customers second, and your shareholders third, effectively, in the end, the shareholders do well, the customers do better, and your staff are happy.
For people that have booked flights on Virgin Atlantic, this would obviously be a worrying time. The company has said that you can delay your flight and you won't have to pay any fees. If it goes bust and there's no operator, it's unclear what will that mean. If you have paid for it by credit card, then you'll be okay.
How likely is it that Virgin Atlantic will go bust?
People are very concerned that Virgin Atlantic really could go bust. And Richard Branson himself has said that if he doesn't get this bailout from the government, I mean, that really could be it for the airline. And let's remember that he's already had this bid for £500 million from the government rejected. We'll have to see what Virgin Atlantic stumps up in its second bid to try and secure this money.
As you said, COVID-19 has grounded the vast majority of planes across the world. Will we emerge from this COVID crisis with a number of airline companies out of business?
I think it's kind of too early to be sure exactly what's going to happen. But the problem is that at the start, we thought for the duration of the lockdown, there'll be no more flights. But it's difficult to imagine when airlines will be flying again. And then also, how do you socially distance on a plane? You know, there's talks about leaving the middle seat empty, but how does that affect the economics of flying, especially budget airlines? And it's airlines throughout the whole world that are suffering and needing urgent injections of cash. And in some countries, the governments have stepped in and provided loans and bailouts. In America, there's been a bailout scheme, and there's talk about, you know, in countries where the state already owns a big stake in the airline, that they'll put money in. But some airlines have already gone bust, like Virgin Australia. People are expecting a considerable number of airlines not to make it out of this crisis.
Rupert, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
That was Rupert Neat. We gave Virgin Atlantic Airways the opportunity to respond to this episode. They told us the following. It is Virgin Atlantic Airways, not Virgin Group or Richard Branson, who has asked the government to consider financial support on commercial terms. An investment bank has been appointed to assist the process, focusing on private sector funding. Discussions with a number of stakeholders continue and are constructive. Meanwhile, the airline remains in a stable position. Our people took unprecedented collective action to support Virgin Atlantic in this time of crisis, opting into voluntary severance, sabbatical or unpaid leave spread across 6 months. Over 99% of our people chose one of these options to help the company preserve cash and protect jobs. Virgin Atlantic is a UK-registered business which pays tax in the UK. It employs 10,000 people and contributes £350 million to HMRC each year. Do read Rupert's reporting on all of this and that of our transport correspondent, Gwyn Topham. Our business teams are also covering all aspects of COVID-19's impact on the economy. That's it for today. My thanks to Rupert Neat. This episode was produced by Hannah Moore. Sound design was by Axel Cucoutier. Yes, he's back. Many of you have been asking after him. He's been off on paternity leave. So huge congratulations to him and his family, especially baby Izad. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.